Morning. I'd like to call your attention to the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 10, and verse 18. Even as you turn, I certainly want to thank the pastor's aide for the robe, you know, almost sent this in to preach for me this morning. Mercy. Praise God. Luke chapter 10 and verse 18. 18th verse reads as follows. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. I'd like to speak to you for a few moments around the theme. A fallen angel. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. A fallen angel. Doctrinally, we are in the doctrine of angelology. Last Sunday we spoke to you about angel watch. This Sunday we'd like to speak about a fallen angel. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. I wonder if we have a praying church this morning. A fallen angel. I'd like you to know this morning that your enemy is not your friend. Do you know your enemy? Who's for you? And who is against you? Do you know his aims? Do you know his tactics? Do you know your enemy? Do you know his strengths? Do you know his weaknesses? Do you know your enemy? In your battle, are you really aiming at the real enemy? Or are you fooled by the camouflage? If it's a bear that's coming after you, don't shoot at the rabbit. Do you know your enemy? You don't invite tigers to dinner. Especially if they're hungry. Your enemy is not your friend. I realize, even as we speak this morning, I have to slow down a little bit because we expect much disturbance before this message is over. Because in the world, they know their enemies. The Russians, America, they know each other. Why they even fly different colored flags? So that they'll know their enemy. The flags of different colors, so that you can recognize your enemy afar off. Even in a sports event, the home team and the visiting team wear different colors so that you can recognize the team. We can tell who our enemy is by his action, by his attitude. We even will put a poster, advertise, publicize enemies and danger so that they can be avoided. We used to put up in the post office a most wanted list, pictures of criminals where you might meet one and turn him in, you could get a reward. When bad diseases break out, they'll put out all kinds of information and go through all kinds of research to stop the spread of the disease. If a storm breaks out on the West Coast and the wind keeps blowing, the weatherman knows that sooner or later, some element of that storm within 24 hours will reach the East Coast. So there's a weather watch. There's a storm watch. The world system is on the outlook for its enemy. They have radar, satellite, spy plane, secret agent, in order to identify their enemy. To get information about the enemy. That they might be defense, that they might not be overtaken by enemy. That's how it is in the world system. In church, we're strange folks. For we've been committed to a battle. Yeah. Yeah. But for the most part, we are uncertain or unconcerned about who our enemy is. Yeah. Or even what he's really doing. We are so anxious about the fruit that we miss the root.
Amen.
We're not going to kill the apple tree by picking the apple. Something has to be done about the root. And so we, as members of the church, sometimes find ourselves into the same lifestyle after we've met Christ that we were in before we met him. Because unless you know who your enemy is and how to deal with him, he'll trick you into living the same life in the church, quote unquote, as you were living out of the church. some of us have been in church for years. We're still full of fear, anxiety, trouble, discouragement, depression, oppression. You're down all the time. No joy in your life. No victory. No release. And no peace. If the choir doesn't sing you up on Sunday, you probably have little or nothing for the rest of the week. And by the way, some people say, you know, the devil come to church, you know. But basically, why should he come to church? He's got you for the rest of the week. So he doesn't even have to come here. And you had a pastor so scared that he won't preach more than 15 minutes. So he knows you're not going to pick up anything here that's going to affect his program for the rest of the week. So he doesn't even bother to come to church anymore. Amen. All right. But just in case there might be a misunderstanding, your enemy is the person who seeks your injury, or to overthrow you, or seeks your failure. Your enemy is the one who seeks to overthrow you, or to cause you to fail. His antagonism shows itself in hatred or destructive action toward the opponent. In other words, he's out to destroy you. He seeks your injury. Now the Lord said, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Now, if I ask you this morning, most of us have a pet list of people who get on our nerves. You have a whole category of people that make you sick. Some folks you can't stand. But I venture to say this morning that very few, if any of us, have Satan on the list. He's not listed as our number one enemy. And he likes it that way. While we are going around shadow box and picking fruit, he sits back last. Come to tell you this morning that Satan is the fourth most important person in the universe. You probably know more about President Reagan than we do Satan. Some people think that he doesn't exist. Some think he's just a figment of our imagination. They came out a couple years ago and they said that God is dead. No one ever said Satan is dead.
Good point.
And we fall into two categories. Either he is ignored, or he's overstated. We either say to ourselves that he doesn't exist, or we attribute so much power to him that we overstate his authority. Amen. See, only God has all power. But by the time we get finished talking about it, folks sometimes think the devil has more power than he actually has. The Lord Jesus said, "I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven." Do I have a praying church? The angels are ministering spirits that God created. Can you say amen? He created angels to administer to him. And angels are messengers of God. Can you say amen? I just want to make sure you listen. This is a tough one here this morning. Because we expect opposition if you get this one here this morning. Because he preferred to remain in the background. He does not like to be exposed. And he usually comes back at you once you expose him. Let me explain, if I can, that we live in two worlds. The world of the seen and the unseen. Most of us like to think that the only world that exists is the world that we see. But here's a simple illustration that will help you. You can't see City Hall now, but it's there. You can't even see 52nd and Market Street from here inside the church, but there's much activity going on there. You can't see it, but it's there. See, the Bible gives us to know that the things that we see are not moved by what we see. But there's an unknown, unseen, pardon me, world all around you. See, the Lord Jesus said in John chapter 4 that God is a spirit. But the real translation should be, God is spirit. You can't see it, but he's there. And God, are you with me here now, has a whole hierarchy of angels that minister to him. He has a cabinet full of governmental bodies, full of angels. All right. And these angels, called principalities, powers, subject to God. Somewhere back in creation, God created an archangel whose name was Lucifer. Get home today, you read Ezekiel chapter 28. Give you a description of Lucifer. Lucifer was a beautiful archangel. He was covered with all kinds of precious and beautiful gems. He was created to praise God. The gems that covered him were used to reflect the light of God. He sat right around the throne of God. Lucifer's job was to direct all praise, all glory to God. And he was to reflect God's glory and to direct all glory to God. Oh, I wish I had a praying church here. He was to sing and to praise God. Ezekiel tells us that he was full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Don't you think of Lucifer as somebody ugly. Because he was. He was beautiful. He had one problem. He became proud and rebelled against God. Now, Lucifer's problem became the problem of all of his followers. And all that are influenced by him today, they follow his pattern. Lucifer was supposed to praise God. He wanted the praise that goes to God. He wanted it for himself. He exalted himself in the presence of God. Lucifer wanted the praise that goes to God to come to himself. And as we come into the worship, for instance, this morning, you don't have too much trouble pointing out those who are on the devil's side, those who are being oppressed by the devil, or those who are possessed by the devil, by what happens when it comes time to worship God. See, if you just think about it, see, we were created in Christ to pick up and replace the glory that Lucifer was supposed to give to God. That's why when folks get saved, sure enough, they begin to say, "Thank you, Jesus." They begin to worship God. See, worship of God has nothing to do with you being blessed. It has nothing to do with him answering prayer this morning. He is God, whether he does anything else or not. If I don't live past 2 o'clock this afternoon, he's still God. And worship means you honor him for who he is, whether he does anything else or not. But because he has done something, see, because he not only is God, but he came down and blessed me, I have a double, triple, quadruple reason for praising his name. But you see, everyone doesn't come to church for that. And so you get these little dead spots. I mean, you know, I'm not worried about you, I'm worried for you. Because everything that have breath should praise the Lord. It's all right, I know. Now, Lucifer was a shining one. But he became Satan. Which means adversary. And he is the devil, the accuser of the brethren. Are you with me here now? Now, when he rebelled, see, God limited his power. And when he rebelled, he took part of the heavenly forces with him. And they are fallen angels. Some of them are in prison now. Others are free. They haven't been bound yet. And when those fallen angels that are free get into a person, that person is said to be demon possessed. Just as God's angels do His bidding, now the devil has organized demons or principalities and powers that do His bidding. Just as God has realms of His power and His kingdom, so Satan has realms of jurisdiction, and he has his folks out there. Now, I don't know whose kingdom you in. But you in one or the other. There is no neutral ground. If you're not for Christ, you're against it. There's just no man's land in the struggle. Are you with me in that? Now, whatever is right, the devil attacks. See, God is right. God deserves the praise, the glory, and the honor. Now, whatever is right, the devil attacks. Now, most of us don't realize the nature of the attack because we are not aware of what he attacks. The devil attacks your doctrine. If we had time, I'd take you to the book of Genesis. We could go over Satan's method of attack. He could not get to Eve, who was in the garden by herself, until he took away Eve's dependency on the Word of God. See, the devil doesn't care how many degrees you have, because he's the sum of wisdom. You have folks up the boulevard who are super intelligent, but who are mentally disturbed. He's after your doctrine. Well, since you don't bother to come to Bible study, you don't even come to prayer meeting, BTU is out of the question. I wouldn't get caught in a church past Sunday morning. Most of us are saved. So, the less of God's Word you have, the wider your door is open. He's got you thinking that ignorance is being spiritual. He's got us thinking that the dumber we are, the more spiritual we are. He attacks the doctrine of the deity of Christ. Well, you never heard of that. But you got pastors of big churches, one of the biggest churches in West Philadelphia, that doesn't even believe in the virgin birth of Christ. Thousands flock to hear. And if the Lord Jesus is not virgin born, then you're not saved. He attacks the doctrine of the Trinity. He attacks salvation by grace through faith. He attacks the atoning death, burial, resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Well, I'll tell you, if you want to find out, so we can hasten on. Starting tomorrow, you go around and try to talk to someone about the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, don't gossip about church members. Don't talk about what people are doing in the church. Don't even talk about God. Talk about Jesus. Talk about His blood. Be sure you mention His blood. Talk about what the Lord has done, and then we'll come back next Sunday and talk it over. You'll find out who your enemy is. You'll find out what he's against. Amen, amen. All right. Okay. He attacks your doctor. If you don't stop him, he'll attack you physically. You talking about people make you sick. The devil make you sick. But most of all, let me help you out now. You have to watch out for the letter, for the word I. You can test your spirituality by the number of I's that are in your conversation. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I. Amen. Look. In Isaiah chapter 14, verses 12 through 14, you have Satan's oath of office. In those verses, he uses the word I about five times. He said, I will ascend into the heaven. That is, he says, I'm going to occupy the place of God. Two, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. He was saying, I'm going to usurp God's authority. I will become sole administrator of all the affairs of the angelic host. You ever notice when our children are watching those cartoons, you turn them loose on Saturday morning, and the cartoons are the babysitter. While your little child's sitting there soaking it in, most of the plots in those cartoons, someone's always going to take the world over. The villain says, I'm going to take the world over. And he gets his machine or gun or whatever it is and starts to tear things up. Then, in the midst of the crisis, they call out for Mighty Mouse or Superman. See? And first of all, you see, the theme is that a man is going to take over the world. Then another Superman is going to put down the one who's taking the world over. So instead of our child getting in his mind that the Lord can deal with the evil, he begins to think of the right, wrong, in terms of someone with an S on his chest. Then the constant theme of domination. I'm somebody. I'm going to take over. This is my territory. Nobody steps on my foot. I'm somebody. Well, you feed him steady on a diet of that stuff. And he goes to school and runs in to someone sitting next to him who's fed up on the same stuff. And so Satan's aim is a constant exaltation against authority. He wants to take over God's creation. He said, I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation
in the sides of the north. That is, Satan wants to take control over God's government. Isaiah said, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. By that he meant, I will take to myself a greater glory than belongs to God. Then he says, I will be like the Most High. That is, I'm going to be totally, completely independent of authority outside of himself. Now I'm saying this because you have folks in the church who wants this kind of authority. I don't answer to anyone but me. It is just as satanic outside as it is inside. The only freedom you have and I have as a saint is to choose who our master is going to be. The only freedom that you and I have is to choose who's going to be our boss. There's no such thing as anyone in the house of God walking around not having to answer to somebody. The fact that you do not answer to someone means you are lawless. That's what the word Belial means. That's what folks in the world want to say. I'm doing my thing. Nobody tells me anything. They're not under authority. But even the Lord Jesus Christ, they noted that he was under authority. Now that we are saved, when we were out in the world, before we met the Lord, all we could do is follow the devil's direction. Oh, you had mother's wit and conscience, but you know that didn't stop you around about midnight. You know, when you got to the party and you decided what you were going to do, what mother said didn't mean a thing. You went and did whatever you were big enough to do. Amen. Now that you're saved, see, the only difference is you still have that stuff coming up at you. But you have a voice from the other side. From the Spirit of God that's given you the alternative. And the Holy Ghost doesn't make you or I do anything. The Holy Ghost maintains our options. He sees to it that you always hear from the other side. But you have to make up your mind whether you're going to say yes to the Lord or yes to the devil. And whoever you say yes to, that's the result that's coming out in your life. If you say yes to the flesh, you shall of the flesh reap corruption. If you say yes to the Spirit of God, you shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Amen. That's why I don't look at church folks too much. They'll mess your life up. Because I can't get down on the inside of you to make your decision. You will make your own decision. God just told me to preach and preach it in season, out of season. He'll take care of the fruit. He'll take care of the fruit. My job is to sow the seed. You don't want to hear, that's on you. There's some folks who go down Spruce Street, open up their wallet and throw their money out. You got some dummies out here. You got some foolish folks out here. You got to take it for yourself. Amen. 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 You see any members of Beulah messed up? They are Ruffin's members. But you see folks who move it on to higher heights and deeper debt, they belong to the Lord. Anything you see around here messed up, that's Ruffin. Anything going well, that's the Lord. You hear Him, see? That's the point now. See, the Holy Ghost maintains your option. Keeps your mind so that you can say yes or no. Right, wrong, up or down. See, now all of us have something that God has to work on. Everybody in here, from the pulpit to the door, from the ceiling to the floor, all of us have some stuff to be worked on. If you say you haven't sinned, you're a liar, and the truth's not in you. Well, you don't get mad at me. That's what the Bible says. Amen. But you see, Satan was kicked out, and he came down to the Garden of Eden, and he found this new creature here that God had just created. And Satan began to talk to his wife. We got to move on here. But you know that Eve did what God told her not to do. Then she got her husband to join her. And result of that, all of us was in trouble. Isn't that right? When Satan got finished with his trickery, the creature was separated from the Creator. Communication was broken. Man was mad or was running from his Creator. And God was mad at his creation. God was calling and getting no answer. Are you with me here now? When Satan got finished, the God who gave us love was in a situation of having to pronounce death on that which he had created. Because of Satan, the entire creation was doomed to destruction. Death was certain and hell was sure. When Satan got finished, man had no spiritual connection. Man willfully surrendered his rights. Man became subject to a new management. There was another power now on the throne of his heart, bringing man under bondage to death. Man was seen with no power and no hope. Are you praying with me? We became slaves to sin and lust. Our habits took over. We had no choice. Our desires were out of control. We were blinded by sin. We had eyes but couldn't see. And most of all, as Isaiah said, there's no peace, no rest to the wicked. Apart from God, no peace and no rest. Look at it. Look what he's doing. Look at the devil's job. And he's always on the job. Isn't that right? He got a hold of Job's life. Brought catastrophe in there. Took away his possession. Took away his health. Under Satan's authority, thugs attacked him. His family beat up on him. Then if you notice him trying to get out your way, you know, he accused Job in the presence of God. He's the accuser of the brethren. Look at Job. Look at him down there. It's not for nothing that he doesn't praise your name. Look what you've done to him. You got a hedge around. Take that hedge away from him, and he won't praise you like he does. I wish you'd think about what I'm saying here this morning. Some of us right now, if God took that washing machine, or if the devil took that washing machine and shut you up, God wouldn't get any praise out of your life. somebody was to take that car from in front of your door, some of us wouldn't be seen for a couple of weeks. That's what the devil is saying. God, unless you bless them, they won't even praise. Unless you bless them, they won't even serve. But God has a crowd that whether they're exalted or base, whether they're up or down, they praise Him anyhow. When you get up, if they told you, come on, let's go to a party, you jump out the house half-dressed. As soon as somebody says, let's go to church. Oh, I don't have nothing to wear. I've been working all week. I'm so tired. Come to tell you that Lucifer was the anointed cherub, perfect in wisdom and beauty. He was the protector of the throne of God. He operated around the holy mountain. He was the director of worship, but he wanted that worship of God for himself. He wanted to be like the Most High. He wanted to be like El Elyon, the Most High God. Now he wants you to do two things. He wants you to worship himself or yourself. If he can get you to think more about yourself than about God, he's got you in his hand. You know, I notice in talking to folks who have mental problems, listen to their conversation. You'll find that 99% of their worry is about themselves. And you find when folks are saved, sure enough, that most of their press and worry is about somebody else. I know you're not listening to me. When God comes in, you stop worrying about yourself. And you start being concerned about someone else. Lucifer became Satan. He's a deceiver. He's an adversary. He's a slanderer. He's a pervert. He cannot operate in the realm of truth. See, whatever the truth is, he backs out. I'll put it this way to make it plain. The trouble began in the choir stand of heaven. Where Lucifer was to praise God. He wanted that praise for himself. You ever notice how to do? I'm talking about Beulah now. They be singing and jumping and shouting and singing. Soon as the singing stops, they walk out the stand. There's a big concert coming up. They tell you who's going to sing. They let you know what they're going to sing. But ain't a word been said about winning souls for Christ. They use the music to sell soap powder. One radio station, they sell beer. Hair grease, cars, all of that. And they got you singing hot gospel. See, he doesn't mind the noise. What he's after is the truth. Because if the truth is preached, he's got to move out. Two things are going to happen this morning. the devil's going to be revealed for who he is.
Yeah. Yeah.
And move out. Or if we close up the Bible, he'll find a home right here. See, the truth of God is going to attract, save, sanctify, and deliver the people of God. But those who belong to the adversary will separate themselves from the word of truth. We have time for church, but no time for the truth of God. And when it comes time to make a decision that affects the church, we have nothing to draw on but what works in the world. Well, we were born from above. He's an accuser of the brother. He's called Abaddon, which means destruction. He's called Beelzebub, Lord of the Flies. He's called Belial. That is without a master. And if you notice, when he gets in folk, they don't listen to anybody. They go wild. They don't submit to anyone. See, when a person gets saved, they submit themselves to the lordship of Christ. It becomes obvious after a while that you are following somebody. But when the devil's in your life, you don't listen to anybody. And if I had time, you know, we could go into Matthew 13, where the Lord indicates that he plants folks in the church. Only they don't follow God's order. They follow the devil's order. Amen. Help me out here now. He comes as a roaring lion or as an angel of light. If he can scare you out, he'll scare you out. If he can't scare you out, he comes with a better plan. Now look. Baby, I'm going to show you how you can be nice and make it. You don't have to go to no Bible. You go to church too much anyhow. You become a fanatic. But let me school you. Let me tell you how to get in. I'm going to make a woman out of you. He comes to you with a better idea. That's why the Bible says, let this mind be. The Bible says the renewing of your mind, your thought process. Amen. I know you don't like this. But you, whether you speak loudly or not, you're constantly talking to yourself. What are you saying to yourself? Whose voice are you listening to? Bible said, whatever things are good, whatever things are honest, whatever things are good report, think on these things. What a slander. He comes, he always has somebody in a congregation to run you down. I don't care what you do. There's somebody, and if they get all that in their ears, in their heart, after out of the abundance of their heart, they begin to speak and act and live. Whose ideas are you following? Well, I don't know who you follow, but the devil's after you. If you're unsaved, he's got you. If you are saved, he's after you. He's your enemy. And you better find out how to handle it. Isn't that right? He's a fallen angel. How do you see? He's a fallen angel. The Lord Jesus said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. The Lord Jesus said, he's fallen. How do you look at it? Jesus made an assessment of Satan and his power and his kingdom. Satan looked like a sure winner, but Jesus said he's fallen. Paul said, don't give place to the devil. Don't invite him to your dinner table. Don't give him a place of honor in your life. He's fallen. Like a prize fighter speaking before the main event. I can see the reporter coming up to Jesus saying, you about to go in here for this championship fight. What do you think about your opponent? And I hear Jesus say, look, he's knocked out. I can hear him say, you've been a champion, but your kingdom must come down. I am saying, Satan, your days are numbered. The prince of the power of the air must come down. Isn't that right? He sees him, he saw him as a fallen angel. Satan, your kingdom must come down. I can see the reporter going over to the opponent. Well, Lucifer, what do you think about your coming back? I'm not worried. I knocked Adam and Eve out in the first round. I got Cain and Abel second and third round. Noah almost got through, but I got him drunk. Abraham slipped in a heavy punch on me, but I got him impatient. I got him to lie down there in Egypt. And he ended up in Egypt when he should have been in Canaan. I ain't worried about Jesus. Didn't I knock Lot out? Got him to go into Sodom and Gomorrah. And you talk about Jacob. Remember what I did to him? That old deceiver. I got Esau to sell his birthright. Got that old Moses. Took him over too. Got him to smite the rock when he was told to speak to the rock. Isn't that right? Look, you can see my belt. I'm a champ. I got everybody from Adam on down. Even after God blessed them, had them out there eating bread from heaven, drinking water from the rock. I got their heads hard, their neck stiff, and their heart's hard. I'm a champ in my own right. Well, wait a minute, Satan. How about David? I got him too. Got him to commit adultery. That was a good fight, but I knocked him out. Well, wait a minute, Satan. How about Solomon? Wasn't he a wise man? Yeah, he was wise. But he wasn't smart as me. 700 wives, 300 concubines wasn't enough. I knocked him out too. I can hear that old slew foot said, I'm the champion of the world. If you want to know how bad I am, I got a witness in heaven. Because even the commissioner said, they all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous. No, not one. I'm not worried. Look at here. I even split the commissioner's office. I got some fans up there around the throne. I'm a champ in my own right. Don't you understand? Can't you hear this old archdemon now? Having his way. He's a chief instigator. He's a sham artist of the first magnitude. He's a trickster and a father of lies. He's a breaker of contracts. He's no respecter of persons. He's a behind the scenes insinuator. He's a perverter of the truth. He brings in shame. Then he brings in blame. He's a champion of sin and disgrace. He's a chief agitator. He's the evil one. He's a house wrecker and a home breaker. He's a murderer. He's a great dragon. He's a hinderer. He's a shepherd of harm. His name is Lucifer. His name is Satan. He's at work in the world. Yes, he is, but he's a fallen angel. That is, he's a fallen angel to us who know the Lord. But he keeps the gambler in debt. The prostitute is powerless. The lawyer is victimized by the lie. The doctor has surrendered to death. Families have faltered and failed. Marriages are breaking up. He turned a relationship into a religion. Folks are hung up on habits. Young women are losing their virtue. Young men are wandering around talking to nobody. Dope has become their hope. Hell has enlarged itself. Hell is more enticing than heaven. Women are giving up and giving up their babies for the god of pleasure. Isn't that right? He has fooled that young woman, laying up in that man's arms. She thinks it's heaven because Harry's holding her. Satan's got her thinking that Harry is the answer. But she doesn't see the loneliness of being a single parent. She doesn't see the heartache and heartbreak of being left alone. That old devil is having his way. Isn't that right? Look at you, man. He told you to go home and demand your rights. You came home as wrong as you could be. But you demanded your rights. Isn't that right? Satan has you right. Yeah, you right. But your wife is gone. And your children are gone. Satan got your mind so hung up that you hitting your wife. He got your mind so mixed up that you're swinging at the person who's fixing your hominy grits. Are you crazy? You mad at the one who's walking around your house while you're taking a nap? He told you how to tell your wife off. He told you how to give him a piece of your mind. He didn't tell you how to say, I'm sorry. He didn't tell you how to say, please forgive me. Now your home is gone. Your marriage is wrecked. Your family is scattered. And you eating dinner on a street corner. Walking around with a hoagie in your hand. Like some monkey out of a cage. And he still has you thinking that you are a winner. And you and all the bums are standing on the same corner. Don't even have a roof over your head. And you think you are a winner. There's something wrong. And he's sitting back laughing at you. Satan is laughing. He is a winner in the world system. The Lord told me to bring it to you this way, so you can get a picture of what's going on. I'll tell you about the fight in a minute. But so you understand, there was an emergency meeting of Satan's gang, like the mafia. He had a meeting of the board of directors. An emergency meeting was called. Satan is the chairman of the board, sitting around him in this chair is disappointment. There is guilt, shame, and sin. There's depression sitting back there. Oppression and persecution. All of them sitting around the table. There goes trials, burdens, and persecution. There's fear sitting over there on the other side. Temptation came to make his report. That old sex demon is sitting around there. Sickness comes with his portfolio. And poverty is sitting up there with his briefcase. And the jailer's sitting back there. It's an emergency meeting. They called Satan up. So we got to talk to you in a hurry because something's happening in your territory. The territory that was under your control, Satan. Something's going on out there. Satan sat as the chairman of the board. And he said, what's wrong, disappointment? Disappointment said, listen, I've been breaking hearts all over the neighborhood. But yesterday when I came to my favorite client, I couldn't get in the house. When I tried to get in, I heard him in there talking. Said, look, I found a heart fixer and a mind regulator. Disappointment says, Satan, you got to do something. They ran me out the house. Disappointment sat down. Sin, shame, and guilt got up. Listen, Satan. They're beating us up. I tried to reclaim my territory. When I got to the door, they kicked me out. When I got to the door, I heard them talking to one another. They said, behold, the Lamb of God has taken away the sin of the world. Depression made his report. Satan, do something. I used to be welcome. I used to have free reign. I could depress anybody I wanted. But I came to the house. I found him saying, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Yeah, I heard him sing. This joy I have. This joy I have. The world didn't give it. The world. Take it! lose something. We're losing customers. I went to their house. I tried to get in, but I had to get out of town. I heard them singing, glory, glory, hallelujah. Since I lay my burden down, I feel better, so much better. Since I lay my burden down. Persecution. He spoke up at the board meeting. Satan, you got to do something. I got my gang together. And we went down to my customer's house. I used to be able to keep them down with persecution. But they kicked me out of the house. When I knocked on the door, they came to the door singing, I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. Let me hasten on. Fear made his report. I used to make them sick. I used to keep them handcuffed. I had them so scared that they would cringe at night. But I can't get in the house anymore. Every time I come to the door, they greet me with a smile. They say, perfect love has cast out fear. When I try to beat up on him, I hear him come back at me. He hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but of love and of a sound mind. Say yeah. Say yeah. Temptation broke in on it. I used to be able to tempt them, get them to do whatever I asked them to do. But they ran me out of town. I came to the house. I dangled my best stuff in front of their eyes. I even tried to make them feel good. But I had to leave town because they began to say, I'm not only saved, but I'm satisfied. Sickness. Sickness. Says Satan, I tried to make a house call. Sickness. Says Satan, you got to do something. Because when I got to the house, the doctor had already been there. Before I could get my hands on him, Dr. Jesus had gotten his hands on him. There's a doctor in town. His name is Jesus. And he's a doctor that has never lost a patient. Just about at this point, there was a knock on the door. The attendants came in with two stretchers. They brought in two on stretchers. One was death. The other was hell. I said two. I meant to say three. They came in on stretchers. Death, raises Satan, you got to do something. We wrestled with it. You told us to hold him down. We did our best. I put him in my best cell, under my best lock and key. I could only hold him for 2 days. We wrestled for 2 days. But look here, Satan. On the third day, I went. We went. The check is sold out. He's gone. He broke loose. He's up. He's out. Nothing can stop him. Satan, what shall we do? We got to stop this man called Jesus. You better do something, Satan. Are you with me? I heard Satan say, brothers, I know what you're talking about. I know who you're talking about. I met him for myself. I met him in the wilderness. He beat me with his word in the wilderness. Brothers, I know what you're going through. I met him in Gethsemane. He knocked me out with prayer. Brothers, I know who you're talking about. I met him at Calvary. He beat me with his blood. Brothers, I met him at the grave. He beat me with his power. I can't handle it. The meeting is adjourned. Adjourned the meeting. The meeting broke up. All his cronies left town looking for a house, looking for a home. They still looking for new clientele. They still looking for somebody's house that they can stay in. I don't know about you this morning, how you see it. But Jesus said, I saw him falling like lightning. I see him as a defeated foe. If he knocks on your door this morning, you ought to handle your enemy. Can you say amen? I come to tell you, Jesus beat him. Jesus cast out demons. Jesus took command over sickness. Jesus took authority over principality and powers. Jesus took authority over death with his word, with the power of his resurrection. Can you? We did our best. I put him in my best cell, under my best lock and key. I could only hold him for 2 days. We wrestled for 2 days. But look here, Satan. On the third day, sell out. He's gone. He broke loose. He's up. He's out. Nothing can stop him. Satan, what shall we do? We got to stop this man called Jesus. You better do something, Satan. Are you with me? I heard Satan say, brothers, I know what you're talking about. I know who you're talking about. I met him for myself. I met him in the wilderness. He beat me with his word in the wilderness. Brothers, I know what you're going through. I met him in Gethsemane. He knocked me out with prayer. Brothers, I know who you're talking about. I met him at Calvary. He beat me with his blood. Brothers, I met him at the grave. He beat me with his power. I can't handle it. The meeting is adjourned.
Jesus,
stripped him. Jesus took his crown. Say ah! Say ah! Say ah! I'm so glad I found Jesus. I'm so glad I found Jesus. I'm so glad I found Jesus. I'm glad. I'm glad. I'm glad. I'm glad. He's my sword. He's my shield. He's my defense. Yeah.